Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, all right, all right. Amazing. Amazing, amazing how you meet people. I'll tell you for sure. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is we got something brand new going on. We've had some people that requested, well, I've had several requests over the last year or so of people that wanted to be able to either hear the audio or stream video or something so they can listen to our healing schools and listen to our teach services if they're not here or if they're on the road. Well, as of right now, we are streaming audio over the internet and over our cell phones and over the phone. This service right now, if you happen to be anywhere in the world and have your computer and you go to tlsm.org and in the upper left corner of the front page it says Listen Live Beta, all you got to do is click on that and you're on the air and you're listening to this service right now. And that's anywhere in the world that you got an internet. Now, to me, that's amazing. That's amazing, amazing, amazing how that we can do that. And then if you happen to have unlimited phone long distance, you know, if you don't have unlimited long distance or you have a limited line, if you call in, it's a toll call, so you'd have to pay. But if you have unlimited, and nearly everybody today has unlimited everything, you know that? So if you do, it's not a toll call, it's free, and so I'm going to tell you the number. Of course, the number is on the screen on our website, but I'm going to give you the conference call number so that anybody that has this number, and I'll tell you, this is what all you have to do is on any kind of a phone. Now, if you have a cell phone, you don't have to dial one, as all of you know. But if you have a landline phone or whatever, you have to dial the one. And then the number is 712-432-1212. Now, when you dial 712-432-1212, it will tell you that this is freeconferencecall.com, and you have to enter your ID. Now, the ID is really easy to remember. Although it's nine letters, it's real easy. And here's the reason it's easy, because I used to have a 409 Chevrolet. And so since I knew about a 409 engine, when the first three letters come up 409, I thought, boy, that'll be easy to remember. The 409, and then it's got a double set of sevens. After the 409, the ID number is 409-710-740. So to me, that was real easy to remember. For you, that you might not have anything that references to that, it might not be as easy for you. But when you dial the long distance number, like I say, a cell phone, you don't have to dial a one, but a landline, you have to dial a one, 712-432-1212, and then it says, it'll tell you that you're on the conference call and that you're to enter your ID, which is 409-710-740, and when you do, it'll say muted and you're on. And so there you can listen for the next 6 hours. Yes, ma'am?
You have to add a pound sign after that?
Oh, yes, you're right, absolutely right. I did not put that on there. You're absolutely right. After you put the conference call ID number, the 409-710-740, I'm sorry, you have to put the pound sign too. So when you enter the pound sign after that number, then it says you're muted and you're listening to the conference call. And it goes directly to what we're doing right now. And isn't that amazing how simple they can make that? And so what they're going to do for us, some of you may have used this conference call before. I've really not used it as such. I've answered calls on conference calls, but I didn't know how simple it was to work. But you can hear everything that goes on, and where we're recording from, and we have a little piece of equipment we had to buy to put onto our telephone line so we can do this. But that little piece of equipment only cost us $51.25. It wasn't expensive at all. So what we're now transmitting right now live over the phone line, and it goes out to the internet, and you can listen to that. And they record our messages, the whole message, up to 6 hours. So for free. They don't charge us anything. But for 6 hours, they will record it. And, of course, most of our messages on Sunday, you know, it's only 2 or 2.5 hours, maybe 3 of, on a really long Sunday. But our healing schools are always 4 or 5 hours. So, but they record those for 6 hours. And then they keep that for 6 months. So you can go back and look up in the archives and listen and play those over again. Even if you miss the service and you want to hear it, you can play back and listen to it again. So your mom and dad, when they go out to West Texas, they can listen to us now. They won't have to worry. In fact, Gracie is the one that inspired this whole thing. I don't know whether she knows it or not, but she was the one that made something, some notice about, some statement about freeconferencecall.com and see what we could do. And so Dave, when he got a hold of this, he said, "Why, sure, we can do that, no problem." So the boys run a telephone line through the building from the back there where all the lines come in and up here to this box today, or they've done it this last week, and they hooked it up. And I told them, I said, "Now, I want this." I said, "You guys are such professional computer people. I know y'all assume, us people that are not that literate in computers, that we know things we don't know." So I said, "When you get through with it, I want you to tell me you're through, and then I want you to come in, and I want to see, I want this made so simple that even anybody can do this without any kind of a fault." And they said, "Okay, no problem." And so when he got it all done, he came in and said, "Okay, Pastor, we're ready. Now I want you to go to tlsm.org. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I looked up tlsm.org because that's our website. I know how to get there. So I pulled up tlsm.org. He said, "Now then, right under your picture on the top left side, yours and Cheryl's picture, there is a little line that says, 'Listen Live Beta.'" I looked at that and I said, "Okay." He said, "Now click on that Listen Live." I clicked on it and bam, I was listening to the conference call. I didn't have to do another single thing. I said, "Gee, Dave, that's too hard. You're going to have to make it easier." Now, is that easy? Anybody, including me and you, Bill, we could do that, right? We could do that. You know, and it, like I say, if you have an iPhone, you know, an iPad, anything that has access to the internet or to a phone line, you can listen to our services. We are on the air. We started today probably about 1 o'clock, I guess, or 1:15 or something like that when they put it actually on the air. So we have been on the air since about 1:15 or 1:30, but it was just what was going on. But we will be on the air until the service is over completely, and then we will not be on. We will turn it off. So I checked it last week to see how it worked, and I put one of my teachings, I think it was, I forgot now which one it was, How to Get a Lost Person Saved. I listened to that teaching again. In fact, I made that teaching at the ATI conference in 2005. And 2004, I guess it was. Yeah, 2004. And I listened to it this week, and it's so amazing that as I listened to that story, my mind flashed back, and I had no idea today that we were going to have a whole bunch of people back here in the back. Bob, I met this gentleman in the blue shirt back here. When he walked in, he told me his name was Bob and he's from Chicago. And I says, "Well, okay." I said, "You know, I've known a few people in Chicago and whatever." And he said, "I know some people in Chicago that you know." And I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "Andy Warner and Robert." And I says, "You know Andy?" He said, "Yes, and I still know them." And I said, "I haven't seen Andy since the ATI conference." He said, "Well, you can rest well that Andy is still a fine young man. He's got married, and I believe he said he has 3 children." And so I said, "Wow, praise the Lord." I had no idea that when I listened to the ATI conference, I told him, I said, well, it's amazing. And I said, by the way, since I haven't seen them and the boys got healed, I says, and he knew about their healing story, and I told it to him. He said, man, it's amazing you remember it in such detail. But you know, when you see God do things, in fact, I'm going to tell y'all, some of you don't know this story, but I'm going to tell you before I get into my message today how this happened. You know, I mean, so many people have heard of Bill Gothard and the ATI conference. You know, I mean, Bill is a man after my own heart because he is teaching the families how to live together, love together, and play together. He was a really great man of God that taught people the principles of the kingdom. Now, God put him in places with thousands and even tens of thousands of people in conferences, but I'd never heard of him. I didn't know him. You know, I'm just a little nobody, you know, 10 years ago, nobody ever heard of Thurman Scrivener. But anyway, I was doing a healing school, and somebody, and I do not even remember who that somebody was, but there was somebody that worked for him that had heard of me, and I had a healing school. So they came to Dallas, or they lived in Dallas or something, and I don't know where they worked for Bill at, but somewhere. And anyway, they came to a conference and a healing school and learned the principles, and I prayed for them, and they got healed. Well, they went back and told Bill that they got healed. And he said, how did you do it? And he was told by this person, I don't even remember if it was a man or a woman, but they told him that they came to a healing school that I had, and they got a few of my tapes. Back in those days, I had tapes, videotapes and audio tapes, and that they just did what I told them, and I prayed for them, and they got healed. And so Bill said, well, do you have his phone number? And they said, yes. And so they give Bill my phone, and Bill called me. And he called me, and he said, is this Thurman Scrivener? I said, yes. And he said, well, this is Bill Gothard. I said, okay, sir, how can I help you? And he said, well, you don't know me? I said, no, sir, I never heard of you. And, you know, so I guess I was probably the only man in the world that's never heard of Bill Gothard. But I didn't know him. And so anyway, he says, well, okay, he says, I have a ministry, and I'm all over lots of places, but I said, I'm up here in Chicago right now. And he said, I understand that one of my people came down to your healing school, and you prayed for them, and they got well. I said, well, that wasn't quite all the truth. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the first thing I've learned, Bill, is the first thing I had to find that person's sin. Because I said, according to the Word of God, without sin, there is no sickness. He said, now, wait a minute, Thurman, I can't go there with you. I said, okay. I said, you're not the first one that's told me that. But I said, that's true, Bill, and I can confirm it. I can prove it. He said, so you're trying to tell me that people are sick, have a sin in their life. I said, absolutely, of some kind. I said, with no sin, there is no sickness. And I said, it's all over the Bible, especially under the law, that if we obey God and do everything God says, that He will take all sickness away from us. Now, Scott, is that true? You've read that scripture yourself many times. I'm not stretching that at all, am I? You've seen it. You know it's there. But everybody that's been here very much has seen those scriptures and know, because I use those in nearly every healing school, so that you see those. So anyway, he said, well, you and I are going to have to talk about this more in detail. I said, okay, no problem. He says, do you have any teachings? I said, oh, yeah, I've got lots of them, so videos and audios. Of course, back in those days, I didn't have near as many. You know, I probably had maybe one, at that time, maybe 20 or 30 total teaching. I didn't have 800 like I have now, but at that time I had a few. He said, well, will you send me some of your stuff? And I said, sure. So I sent Bill Gothard some of my cassettes and my video cassettes. And 2 or 3, 4 weeks, his board listened to them, and they called me back and had lots of questions. And so I tried my best to answer their questions. And Bill finally told me, he said, well, I just have a real problem connecting this sin sickness thing. I just don't see it. I said, well, okay. I said, I didn't see it either for a long, long time. I said, but God finally revealed it to me, and so I got it. So I said, if I can ever help you, call me. And so a few days later, he called back and says, you know, I've been listening to your stuff, and as you know, but he says, I really would like to have you speak at one of my conferences And he said, but I've talked to my board, and he said, they won't let me. They say that you're too far out. And I said, well, that's okay, Bill. I said, I'm okay with that. I said, I didn't call and ask you if I could teach in your conference. I never heard about you. I said, you know, you're the one that's been calling me and asking me to do all these things. So I said, you know, I'm just telling you what I've learned. And he said, well, I just can't go there with you, and I understand why my board won't let you speak, because what you teach is so foreign to what we understand. He said, I just can't let you speak. But he said, I would love to have you there. But I said, well, Bill, let me make a statement. I said, you and I work for the same master, and his name's Jesus Christ. Is that who we're all about? All of us. I don't care what church you belong to. If you use the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, then we work for the same boss. And so he's over everything. And I said, if he wants me to speak at one of your conferences, I said, he'll make a way for me to speak at your conference. And he said, well, okay. Well, a few weeks go by, and he called and he said, Thurman, I got a problem. This is Bill Gothard. I said, okay, Bill, how can I help you? He says, one of my young men, he's a fantastic young man, his name is Andy Warner, and he works for me, and he came in a walker today, and the doctors gave him three options, and all three of those options lead to surgery. He says, I told Andy, let's call Thurman and see what he says. So what do you say? And I said, well, Bill, it's real simple. He's got a sin in his life. He said, I knew that's what you was going to say. I just knew that's what you was going to say. But said, Thurman, Andy, as far as, he's as fine and as pure as any young man as I ever seen in my life. I said, well, I can understand that. I understand him working for you. I said, I wouldn't believe it any other way than if he's working for you and what you stand for, that he's a fine, pure young man. You know, I mean, what little I'd learned about Bill Gothard and his ministry at that time, I thought, you know, this guy's doing a great work for the kingdom of God. You know, I mean, he's teaching thousands of people these principles, and he's really strong on some of the things he believes. And I thought, well, praise God. That's, you know, God gave him a gift to do something. He gave me a gift. But I said, Andy's got a sin in his life. He said, Thurman, I just can't go there with you. I said, well, is he where I can talk to him? He said, yeah, he's right here. He said, let me put him on speakerphone so we can all hear. So I had no idea how many people's in the office listening, but everybody's listening. So finally, it only took me 45 minutes to an hour. I told him, I said, Andy, you are a very fine young man. I will have to say, you've not committed any kind of normal sins that the average 20-year-old, 25, whatever he was, early 20s, I think, at the time. I said, you've never committed any of the sins a normal young boys have committed. But I said, you've got some kind of sin. And I said, you know, I said, Lord, please show me what Andy's sin is. And all of a sudden I said, I know what your sin is. It's unbelief. I said, that's the biggest sin in the church, unbelief. I said, but the Lord just revealed that to me, Andy. I said, your sin is unbelief. He said, no, Mr. Scrivener, I believe every word in the Word of God. I said, well, Andy, you think you do. But I said, I want you to turn to Matthew 18:19, and I want you to read that scripture out loud to me. He said, and again, I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Do you all know that's what that Matthew 18:19 says? I said, now, Andy, you didn't believe that. Because if you had believed that, you would have found a good buddy up there that believed too, and the two of you would have agreed in prayer, and your healing would have taken place. But I said, you didn't believe that. Since you didn't believe it, that's why you're down in your back. That's why you're going to have to go to surgery. I said, I want you to repent for your unbelief. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am so sorry for my unbelief. But I guess I didn't know that verse was in there, or I didn't believe it, or both. But he said, forgive me. Now, how many of y'all know that when you ask God to forgive you, he does it? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have a God that forgives? Yes. I said, so now then, Andy, I'm going to take that verse. Now that you've repented for your unbelief, I'm going to take that verse and I'm going to pray over you. And I'm going to guarantee you on behalf of that verse that the King that I serve is going to heal you. And his name's Jesus Christ. And so I prayed the prayer of faith for him. I said, I looked at my watch and I said, oh my goodness gracious, I got to be in Dallas at a Bible study in 45 minutes. I said, I said, I don't have time to talk to you no more, Andy. Call me in the morning. Let me know what's going on. So I just hung up the phone and run out to the Bible study. The next morning at 7 o'clock, my phone was ringing. Thurman, it's Bill Gothard. I said, wow, you really get up early, don't you, Bill? He said, Andy was healed last night. The minute you prayed for him, he was healed. And he said he has played ball. He's run around the office here. He's done everything. He's back in the office this morning and said there's absolutely nothing wrong with Andy's back. Well, see, I got to hear when I finally went to the conference and did speak. Andy gave that testimony at the conference. But Bob just told me back there a while ago, he knows him still today, 10 years later, and he's married now, he got 3 children, and as far as he knows, he's never had any more back trouble. And isn't that awesome? Now then, of course, Bill said, Thurman, I'd love to have you speak at one of my conferences, but you know, he said, I've already touched base with some of my board, and they says no. And I said, Bill, don't worry about it. I said, if the boss wants me to speak at your conference, he'll make a way. Do y'all know that?
Yes.
Do you know that whatever God wants you to do, he's going to make a way for you to do it? And he's a little bit bigger than the rest of us. And so anyway, a few days or weeks or whatever went by, and he called me and he said, Thurman, I got another problem. I said, what's that, Bill? He says, I have this other young man, Robert. I think he said his name was, I forget what he said his first name really was, but that's all I've ever known, Robert. I don't even remember Robert's last name. But he says, Robert is down in his back, and he's on a bed, and he can't even get up and walk with a walker. I said, well, Bill, he's got a sin in his life. He just goes crazy. He said, Thurman, that's what you keep saying. He said, I just can't go there with you. I said, well, God's doing this to show you, Bill. I said, he's trying to get through to you. I said, you saw what happened with Andy. I said, now then, Robert's down in his back, and he's worse. He can't even get up. So I said, put him on the phone. He said, okay, I'm going to put him on speakerphone, just like we did last time, so that everybody in the office can hear what's going on. I said, okay. So for 2.5 or 3 hours, I sought for Robert's sin, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't. That was one of the finest young men I'd ever talked to in my life. That's in his early 20s. I mean, but what do I expect for working for a ministry? You know, is that what God told us to do, to purify ourselves?
Yes.
If we're in ministry, for sure. You know, you're supposed to walk pure and holy and clean. There's to be no exceptions to the rule for people in ministry. I mean, really, there's not to be any exception with you either. You're all supposed to be just as clean and pure as I am. There's to be no difference in the place I walk and you walk as sons and daughters of God. So anyway, I finally told him, I said, Robert, I got one other thing. The Lord just inspired me to ask you a question. And I said, I know I'd ask you, have you ever been married? And you said, no. I asked you, have you ever had sex with a woman? You said, no. I said, so the Lord just prompted me to ask you this one last question. Have you ever looked at a young woman and even thought about going to bed with her? He says, yes, sir, I have done that. I said, okay. I said, that's your sin. I know the Lord just prompted me with that. I said, so I want you to repent of that sin and tell the Lord you're sorry. Now then, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you that if I ask for the young men in here that's ever looked at a woman that's lusted for her, how many men would have to raise their hand? I'm telling you what, I'd be the first one to have my hand up because I have done that. Do you know what? And I bet there's not a man in this room that hasn't done that. So we can't condemn Robert for his sin because we've all committed the same thing, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Men, if women don't understand, women need to learn how to dress, because when they dress, that shows lots of their private parts and things. That's what turns men on, and men can't, they fight this battle. I don't care. I used to think it was only something you had to fight when you're in your 20s, but now that in my late 70s, I know that it doesn't make a difference how old you are, you still have this problem. You know, when you look at a woman that ain't got no clothes on, there's something goes off in you, and that's just the way you're made, and that's the way God made you, but you can control that. Just because you see it don't mean you have to do anything about it. You can look somewhere else, but it's a great temptation to men. And so whenever Robert said, yes, he had done that, I said, well, that's your sin, Robert. I want you to repent. Robert repented of his sin. He said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I have tried to walk holy and pure before you. And it's obvious that young man had. He really had. And of course, I never met him personally. Only over the phone. Now, I met Andy down at Big Sandy when I spoke down there in 2004, but only for a little while. But Robert, I had never met Robert. But anyway, he repented. And I used that same promise of Matthew 18:19. And I prayed for Robert's back. And then I told him, I said, now, son, I guarantee you my king is going to heal you because you've repented and you are a fine young man. I said, I want you to thank him. And he thanked him for healing him. And the next morning, my phone was ringing at 7. And it was Bill. And he said, Thurman, this is Bill. And he said, last night when you hung up the phone, Robert's pain instantly left. And he was healed. And him and Andy has played basketball all night last night. He said, they're still totally healed. I had never heard from Robert since that day. And I still haven't heard from Robert himself. But when this gentleman back here from Chicago, I met him a while ago, he told me he knows both of those boys. And they're both doing excellent. You know, but I have prayed for many, many people that are here with me on a regular basis, on a Sunday basis, that either I prayed for them or they prayed for themselves or whatever, and they got healed of back injuries. I've seen, in fact, a lot of people have said that God has given me a special anointing for backs because I have prayed for so many people with back problems. In fact, the greatest back injury that I think that I've ever prayed for was Dr. Young. Dr. Young, how many years ago, that, honey? 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago? Something like that. I don't even know. Okay, 2005. Okay, so, or 6 or whatever it was. But anyway, Dr. Young was up in the mountains of Idaho, and he felt he was up in a tree that was 35 feet high. Now, the top of this building is only 22 feet. So he was 35 feet in a tree, and the limbs he was on, can you imagine going another 15 feet above the tip of that thing? And a limb broke he was standing on, and he fell all the way down that tree to the ground and hit on his back, on his bottom. They care flighted him out of the mountains, took him to a hospital, done a CT scan on him, and said, your lower back is so destroyed, it's not fixable. So that was on Tuesday. So they sent him home with nothing. He's a doctor himself, but there was nothing they could do. So he's at home, and one of his friends gave him a DVD that I'd made about healing. And he's sitting there, laying there in bed in excruciating pain, listening to that DVD. And he called this friend, and it was on Sunday. And Cheryl and I had just finished church, like it is today, and we had stopped by the Waffle House to have a waffle before we come home. And my phone ring, or Cheryl's phone ring, and this man says, I am a good friend of Dr. Gary Young from Salt Lake City, Utah, and he has fell out of a tree and broke his back, actually crushed the lower back, and he can't be fixed, and he's listening to one of your DVDs, and he called me and wanted to know if he would buy you and Cheryl a ticket to Salt Lake City in the morning, would you fly up there and pray for him? And I said, of course, I will be happy to. I mean, you know, when you serve a God that answers prayer, you go do things that you won't do if you ain't never seen an answer to prayer. But I've seen God heal so many backs. Why would I tell this man that's in pain and agony that I won't go do something? So I said, sure, I will go if you buy us a ticket. So anyway, we hung up the phone, and they made the reservations, and we get nearly to the post office from where we were over in Grapevine, where we stopped at the Waffle House in Grapevine. So it's a 20 or 30 minute drive from there to here. And so we come by the post office and got the mail that day and that evening. And when we got there, Cheryl, she said, reckon he's going to call. I said, yeah, he's going to call. Just be patient. And so just about the time we got to the post office, my phone rang and it said, hi, Thurman. This is Dr. Young. I've made reservations for you and your wife on flight so-and-so to Salt Lake in the morning. I'll have somebody pick you all up. I said, okay, good. We'll be there. And so Cheryl stopped by the post office while I'm talking to him, and as I'm talking to him, I said, Dr. Young, are you in pain? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. I said, you know, the Jesus I serve. Now, I, and here's something that Cheryl asked me this a lot of times. Why did you do what you did there? You know what my standard answer is? I'm led by the Spirit. And I do whatever He tells me to do. That's how I got both those boys at Bill Gothard healed, because I listened to the Lord, and He knew what their sin was. And so by Him telling me, I was able to find it and get them free and get them both healed. And so anyway, this back injury, whenever I told him, I said, Mark 11:23 makes an awesome statement. Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I can believe it with my heart, I can have it. Is that what it says?
Amen.
So see, do you think we have a problem in the church with unbelief today?
Yes.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, not only did Andy and Robert have problems with unbelief, but we have problem with unbelief. All of us, me included, we have unbelief problems. And so anyway, I told him, I said, Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, Dr. Young, the Jesus I serve does not want you to be in pain. So I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you based around Mark 11:23. And I prayed the prayer of faith for him. And I said, now I guarantee my Jesus will do a supernatural healing on your back. Those are the exact words I said. Now, where did that come from? It led by the Spirit. Why did I say those kind of things? There's only one explanation why I do anything I do, and it's because of God. He is the one that speaks these words out of my mouth. One time I'll pray for one person one way and another, and Cheryl notices it. Why did you do that like that? I said, well, I didn't realize I did it like that. She said, that's what you said over here, but that's what you said over here. Totally different. Both people had the same problem. I said, honey, I'm just led by the Spirit. So I don't know why God does it. He knows why. But anyway, we drive down the road just a little while, and she says, what do you think about him? I'd prayed for him and thanked the Lord for healing him and hung up the phone. And I said, we drive about a mile, and Cheryl says, well, what do you think? I said, oh, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Now, do you hear any faith in that?
Yes.
Now, see, if I'd have been a normal Baptist, I said, maybe I shouldn't say Baptist. If I'd have been a normal Christian, and that's where we all live. If I'd have been a normal Christian, I'd have said, well, I don't know. It's totally in God's hand. Now, if it's His will, maybe He'll do something. Is that what we say? But that's not what we're supposed to say. But that is what we do, so many of us. But I told her, I said, no problem, honey. He'll be healed before we get there. I guarantee it. And that's all. And she didn't ask me no more questions, so I didn't give her no more answers. You know, so we get home, and we're unloading the car, the pickup, and she's carrying stuff in the house, and I'm getting stuff, and all of a sudden my cell phone rings, and I look at the number, and I thought, no, I wonder who that is. I don't know who that is. So I said, yes, this is Thurman. How can I help you? He said, Thurman, this is Dr. Gary Young. He said, the minute you prayed for me, my pain went away. I scooted over to the edge of the bed, put my feet on the floor. I could stand up, said I walked around a few minutes. I ran up the stairs and back down, picked up my 5-year-old son, ran back up the stairs and back down. He said, Thurman, God has given me a brand new back. Now, do we serve an awesome Jesus? So he said, you guys, come on. I've already bought y'all a ticket. So he said, y'all get on that airplane, come up here in the morning. And he said, I will pick y'all up at the airport myself. And he did. He picked us up and he took us. And I mean, he took us out to dinner. He took us to places. I guess I shouldn't say it like this, but he wined and dined us. That's not the way to say it, I guess, as a Christian. We didn't have any wine, but we did have some good things to drink. I should say he iced tea does it, because iced tea is about the strongest thing Cheryl and I drink. But anyway, he did iced tea us and dined us, you know, and we had a great 3 or 4 days. And wow, 9 years ago. Isn't that amazing? 9 years ago. And of course, I know Dr. Young still healed. And I'm now glad to speak with this family and this group back here on the back that's from Chicago that I had not heard from Robert or Andy in almost 9 years. But he knows them personally, both of them. And he just got through telling me that they're all doing great. And I believe you said Andy's got 3 children. Is that right? Yeah, three beautiful children, and of course, I don't know about, has Robert ever get married?
Robert is married, and they have one.
Well, and both those boys are still doing good with their backs, right?
Yes.
They've never had to go to a doctor, have any surgery or nothing?
No.
Oh, do we serve an awesome Jesus? Yes. Isn't he awesome? I don't know about you, but I love serving the Master. You know, so anyway, after we go back to Robert, after Robert got healed, that morning after Bill called back and said, Thurman, my sister was also listening and she's had migraine headaches for years. And he said, she heard about the sin and sickness connection and she realized she had a sin in her life. So she repented of her sin. And when you prayed for Robert over the phone, not only did my Robert get healed, but my sister got healed too. And so he said, you're going to speak at my conference. I said, okay, Bill, I told you if the Master wants me to speak that he would make a way. And he did. And so Bill signed me up and he sent me these little flyers, brochures, you know, and here's all these well-known speakers that everybody knows on the back page of that thing. And there's Thurman Scrivener over there. Nobody's ever heard of Thurman Scrivener. But anyway, he had signed me up for several of them. You know, there was big Sandy was going to be the first one, and then I think maybe San Diego or L.A. or San Francisco or somewhere. I don't know where all, but there was four or five places, and some of them had thousands. The big Sandy one had about 3,000 itself. So anyway, I went down there, and I spoke that first morning, and we made the teaching called God's Power. That is going to be our first book. We have just finished the book, and in fact, we got some of them back there. It's there. It's only, 80 pages or something like that? 70 or 80 pages? Yeah, but in the little book rack, we're just now starting to put out books. We've never done this before, but we got a few, and in the near future, we're going to have some more. We got to get things together here. When you get to where you can order 10,000 at a time, you get a good price. You know, when you order 20 or 30, you know, they're $4 or $5 a piece. And I mean, to go have them made, you know, so, but we're going to print some ourselves, I think, with all the printers that God's given us. I think we're going, Dave says there's going to be no problem that he can print those and put them together. And so we'll see how that works out. So anyway, but we're printing our first books and the one we made at ATI, but way back there in 2005, that's the 2004. That's the first book that we just now are publishing. And we're going to put it out for people because it's a great, the CD that was made called God's Power. I don't think there's any CD we've had more requests for than that one CD. And it's absolutely an awesome, I re-listen to it myself every once in a while because I don't mind telling you that when I listen to that, I hear a man that's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power standing up there before 3,000 people preaching, and I don't see that as me. I really don't see that as me. I see that as the Lord, because when I listen to that, I get all pumped up and inspired myself thinking, wow, listen to that. That's really good. But it was, and then sometimes I'll say, well, that's me. And I said, no, Lord, that really wasn't me. That was you. You know, I just got to be the mouthpiece. But he done some great things on that. And so then the next morning, Bill told me that he'd had a little problem with the board about what I taught on God's power. And so that I was going to have to be careful what I said today, and I was the first speaker on Thursday, and so I told him, I said, well, Bill, I said, I'm not even going to teach on what you asked me to teach on today at all. And he said, what? He said, what are you going to teach on? I said, well, this morning at 4 o'clock, the Master woke me up, and he told me exactly what he wanted me to teach on today. And I said, what you asked me to teach on is not included in that at all. The Lord had something totally different. He said, well, Thurman, you got to tell me what you're going to talk about. And I said, Bill, the only thing I see wrong with you, you and me are going to have to get to the point where we realize it's not our ministry. It's the boss, Jesus Christ. He runs this thing, not me and you. So I said, Bill, you need to learn to just trust him. I said, if he woke me up at 4 o'clock and told me to do something, and I said, you know I work for him because all these men that and women and everybody's been healed. I said, I didn't heal them. I can't heal a fly. But I said, he did that. So it's obvious that he's hearing my prayer. So you ought to be able to yield to this. So he said, oh, my goodness, okay. So anyway, I was supposed to have an hour and a half, but he took the first half hour. And so anyway, I finally got out there, and oh my goodness, he was in agony. But I understand when you're running a big ministry and got a lot of people over you, you know, and me, I know, I ain't nobody over me in this ministry. I'm just here by myself, you know. I can do anything I want to do. So I don't have to worry about somebody coming to me and say, we don't like what you teach, we're going to throw you out. I said, me and Jesus own this ministry. And so you can't throw me out. And so anyway, I think about as we done the things we did and everything, and we saw God do what he did. I've lost my... Oh, yeah, about how to get a lost person saved. Well, I went out there and I started teaching about how to get a lost person saved. And Cheryl, that's the second book. Just think, the first and second books will both be around the ATI conference. So Bill had no idea when we done that we were going to give away the thousands of CDs and DVDs that we were going to give away. But now then, that we're going to give away in the future, I know it's going to be tens of thousands of books, because as we talked about that, and as I listened to this and everything, and listened to Cheryl typing this up, and she's asking me questions, I'm thinking the information that's there. Now I can understand what Bill said after I'd done that teaching for an hour and 5 minutes on how to get a lost person saved. When I listened to that, with Cheryl typing that up the other day, I can flash back to what Bill said that night after the whole conference was over that day, all day. We sat down to dinner with me and him and about four or five PhDs, you know, from seminaries or whatever. And he looked across the table at me and he said, Thurman, when I get that message you preached this morning in the hands of 5,000 young people that really believe what you taught, we will win the world to Jesus with that message. And I thought, wow, it must have really been from God, huh? See, whenever you're working for God, you don't never worry about what you're going to say or do. He'll put the words in your mouth that he wants you to say if you're yielded to him and you're giving him the glory and the praise. All those people, I mean, for months, we had people call us. What happened to you? You were on the flyer. You were going to be at San Diego. I said, well, they took me off. I couldn't be there. You know, I said, it wasn't my fault. You know, I said, I just, they wouldn't let me be there. Now, I don't understand why the church does what it does. Do y'all?
No.
Now, I don't understand it at all. But you know, I've been given a ministry. As a Southern Baptist, God took me out of that, and he chooses who he wants to. Just like Paul said, in the Spirit, he speaks through he will. You know, and he's the boss, not you and me. So we have to realize that Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he is the King. We are his sons and daughters, and he has plans for all of us to do great things for his kingdom. And if he calls you out to be the best dishwasher that there ever was, then you be the best dishwasher that he ever made. If he calls you out to stand before millions on TV and radio, then you be the best you can be at what he's called you to do. And it'll be like, I don't know, when I think about, J. Vernon McGee. J. Vernon, I mean, I started listening to him years ago, and I think he was a Presbyterian, and J. Vernon told a story I never forgot. He says, there was a preacher that had a huge church, mega church, and he always was preaching good, and had just a good, and said he finally died, and he went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, St. Peter told him, said, let me take you to show you your house, your mansion. And so he said, okay, good. So he said, we're walking down Hallelujah Boulevard, and I look and I said, my goodness, look at that gorgeous mansion over there. Who does that belong to? And he said, that belongs to Mrs. So-and-so. And he says, man, she must have really been something. He said, she was a little prayer warrior in your church. He said, she was in my church? Yes. And you didn't know her? No. And she gets a mention like that, and I don't even know her? Wow. So he goes down and turns right on Glory Boulevard, and he's walking along there, and he says, wow, look at that gorgeous mansion. Who's that one? He said, well, that's Brother Bud. He said, Brother Bud who? He said, you don't know him? He was a member of your church too. He thinks, man, the little lady that I didn't know got a giant mansion. The little man that I didn't know got a giant mansion. I can only imagine what I'm going to get. Is that kind of the way we think? Unfortunately, so we go down the street, down around the corner, out on the back of the South 40, and there's a little bitty house. He says, whose is this? He said, that's yours. You know, there may be a whole lot more truth in that than we know. Because those of us sometimes that think we're first and we're great, he said, we'll be last in the kingdom. So I'm telling you, I don't want to go there. I want to give the Master all the glory. You know, whenever he heals somebody or does what he does, it's all about Jesus. Now then, I think about this. Here we got 80 or 90 people here today in the whole thing. But in our database, we have over 10,000 people in our database. We send out CDs and DVDs, tape of the month, we call it, free and postpaid to people all over the world. Now then, from all the requests we've had about being able to listen to our services live and healing schools live, as of today, we're doing that. Now all we got to do is get the number out to the people all over the world. And I think what we'll do as we send out the next tape of the month, we'll put this information in there. And once we put the information in there and then they have it, then they can call their friends or their relatives that they want to hear, and they'll be able to tune us in either on their computer or on their phone, their iPad or iPod or whatever. But we will be live from 2 o'clock until 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever, on every Sunday afternoon. And then we will also be live every healing school, so that regardless of where you live, if you got a computer, you can listen to our service live. Now, is that pretty awesome? Yes. Now, who done all that? Yes. Jesus did all that. Now then, praise the Lord. So you got the number and everything. And now then, I'm going to show you something in the Scripture. Well, Father, I thank you and praise you for the wonderful things you do. And I thank you, Lord, that you sent Bob today to tell me about Andy and Robert. A man that knows them personally, because I've never heard from those boys since that day. But Lord, I thank you that you've given them both a good family and children, and that you're blessing them and that they're healthy and they have no back troubles. I thank you that you're a God that when you heal us, just like Dave, Lord, I thank you that when you sent Dave to me 10 years ago, he had been sick for 40 years. We got Dave healed, and now he's been healed for 10 years, and he's not had any sickness, and he's walking in divine health too. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, as we teach your word, we yield ourselves to you and the Spirit of God, and may you use us today for your glory to further the knowledge and wisdom that the people of the body of Christ need so we can be about your business every day. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 8 and we'll go right down through 26. 2 Corinthians 2, 8 through 26. In fact, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just take 2 Corinthians 2, 8 through 11. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Now then, in the interest of time, I'll have to go back and tell you, this was a young man that had been caught in sexual immorality earlier, and they turned him over to the devil for destruction of the flesh. Now, lots of people in the church have never seen that scripture in the Bible, but because this man was having sex with his father's wife. Anybody remember that story? Okay. Paul said that, you know, you ought to be ashamed. You're gloating over this thing this man's doing, and you ought to literally throw this man out of the church and turn him over to the devil for destruction of the flesh. And so that's what had happened. That's what they had done. So this is where we are. Bring us up here. It says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. In other words, if we turn somebody over to the devil for destruction of the flesh, so that the soul may be saved in the day of judgment, somewhere along the line, we need to bring that man. If he starts straightening up, if he starts acting right again, we need to go and love him and bring him back into the church, right? We don't want him to stay out there in the world because we know what's going to happen to him. We don't want him to be lost. We want him to be brought back into the church, and we want to love him. So the Paul's telling us there, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him or toward this man. It wouldn't hurt anything. You know, I mean, I stand in awe of the number of families that some little something happened and they get into a disagreement and they won't even come to visit their loved ones. As far as I'm concerned, that is absolutely the height of stupidity. You know, how that we don't understand the devil and his ways. We really don't. Let's go to the next verse, verse 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Most of us, we're not obedient in all things. I mean, we really don't do what God tells us to do. Verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive it in the person of Christ. In other words, through Christ, what can you do through Christ? Now, there's a scripture that absolutely blows us away. And when I first started teaching this, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I had so many people that came to me that told me I was totally in left field with this scripture. When I said, in Christ, I said, this is a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world, that Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, is that scripture?
Yes.
So where is Christ?
He's in me.
He's in me, right, Michael?
Right.
He is right there. You brought him with you today, didn't you? Somebody says, I wonder if Jesus is going to be out there today. I said, yeah, I guarantee he's going to be there because I brought him with me. Now, if nobody else brought him, I brought him. He's here. But if you're a born-again Christian, you brought him too, right? So if we are Christians, then Dave talked about this a little bit at the healing school the other day. We are technically God's sons and daughters. Is that right? So if we're God's sons and daughters, that makes us, he said, little gods. And that's in the scripture too. Now, people have a real problem sometimes when you say, you know, wow, you're a god? Well, yeah. I mean, so what if I am a little god, and the scripture does say that, then why don't I act like one? You know, why would a little god act like a demon or like a devil? So I started teaching that through Christ and Christ in you, that where we're talking about forgiveness here, I said, you know, we can forgive sin through Christ. And that's what that says. And somebody said, no, you can't do that. There's no scripture. I said, yeah, John 20, 23. Now, we want to flip over there right quick to John 20, 23, and then we're going to come right back here to this verse. And it says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now then, if God tells me and you in his word that this is a mystery that's been hidden before the foundation of the world, Christ in me, the hope of glory, if he says that I can forgive somebody's sins, then guess who I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe him. So if he says I can forgive this man's sins, that's exactly what Paul was talking about there in 2 Corinthians, that this man that went out because of the sexual immorality and they kicked him out, turned him over to the devil and everything else, now then they're going to forgive him and bring him back into the church. Well, Paul just got through telling us we can forgive that sin. But it's very clear. It's kind of hard to get it sometimes there. But when you look at it in the King James Bible, he says, whoever sins you forgive or remit, they're remitted. Is that right?
Yes.
Now then, I love to tell this story because it fits so perfect right here. After I'd been teaching this for several years, many people in this church had heard me say, we can forgive sin. How many of you have ever heard me say that? How many of you believe that? Okay, well, I'm glad that most of you still do. Because it's written in the book, isn't it, Michael? If it's in the book, we're supposed to believe it, right? I mean, we got enough problem with this unbelief stuff, don't we? Now, that unbelief devil is something else. That beast is really getting us. But anyway, one day, Kim and Scott, this couple sitting right here on the front row, they got three children here, and they went home one night over in Weatherford where they live, and the power was off. And so they called the power company. And the power company told them, well, in 3 or 4 hours, they'd have it back on. Well, it was like 9 or 10 o'clock or something that night. So they thought, okay, well, we just go to bed and wake up in the morning, we'll have power. But they went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, there was still no power. So they started checking what's going to take longer than we thought, and on and on and on. They're having all kinds of problems and issues. And so she said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord spoke to her. He says, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. And guess what her first statement was? Yeah, what'd you say, Kim?
I can't do
that. Now, what's wrong with us? Huh? Unbelief, right? So, but it didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your tongue, did it?
That's right.
Because all of a sudden, he's reached over and grabbed you and kind of slapped you gently about twice and pulled your tongue out a little bit and said, how dare you say that? I told you you could remit the sins of this block. And I told you to remit the sins of this block so I could turn the power back on. And you said, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent for that. And now then I remit the sins of this block. And what happened?
Power came right on.
Power came on immediately. Now then, sin is what kept the power turned off overnight. There was some kind of sin issue. And until she, as a daughter of the king, remitted the sins of that block, the power could not be turned back on. But the minute the Lord told her, now, he will never ask you to do something that you're not well equipped to do. I mean, if you've never heard that teaching, never in your life, I mean, God knows better than to tell you to remit the sins of this block. If you've been to a church that did ever go by that, and they said, you know, this doesn't mean what it says. And that's what a lot of people will tell you. Because when I first started teaching on this scripture right here, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. The first Sunday I did that, and the next Sunday I had numerous people that go to two churches. They go to church on Sunday morning, and then they come to mine at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and numerous people came back in, probably 100 people over in Dallas that day, and probably 50 of them came back in and said, I talked to my pastor this morning. He said, what you said, you were wrong on John 20:23. You cannot forgive sin. Now then, that's where I'm going to say, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. If God said I can forgive sins, guess what? I am a son of God and the King of Kings, Michael, lives right there, does he not? He ain't far away, is he? And so if I'm his son, I'm his representative on earth, if I lay hands on the sick and pray in faith, he heals them, doesn't he? If I lay hands on them and forgive their sins, he forgives their sin. It's totally him all the time, right?
Absolutely.
It wasn't me, it was him. But you have that power. Now then, let's go back to where we were in verse 10 or 11, 10, I think it was. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive it in the person of Christ. So see, who are we looking at here? Christ. Now then, verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What are his devices? What does that beast do? I mean, you know, I used to think there was a cosmic battle going on between God and the devil. And then one day I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if Satan is that big of a problem and you really don't want him here, why don't you just snap your finger and kill him and get rid of him? He said, son, that's not the way the system's set up. He said, I made the devil. I made him for my purpose and my glory. He said, you know, I use him. He said, he's not in control. He said, he can't bat an eyelash unless I tell him he can. He said, I'm in control, not the devil. Then I began to think about those scriptures. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Do you remember those scriptures? How much power is given to Jesus? Well, how much does that leave the devil?
None.
Absolutely right. None. The devil can't do nothing. So, but Paul says that if we have to be careful, we have to forgive, because if we don't forgive, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage on us. In other words, here's the thing that most people, it took me a long time to get this. When we learn that sin and sickness are directly related, when we really get a hold of that, anytime you come down with anything, I don't care what it is, the first thing you'll do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, what did I do that didn't please you? That's the first thing you'll get toward. That'll be the question you'll ask. Do you know, all of you in this room that have raised children, and probably most of you have children, grandchildren, do you love beating up on your kids? You know, most of us, we have to have them drive us over the brink before we give them a spanking, right? Do you think if that's the way we are, do you think God is even probably even more merciful than us? I think he is. So I really think that we sin and we do all kinds of things, and God is out there trying to tell us, hey, you need to stop that. You need to straighten your act up here, you know, because if you keep going, now that unforgiveness you're carrying against that brother or sister, and what really gets me is when you get a family, a mother, a father, or brother, sister, whatever, and one of them gets bitter against the other one and won't come to see them, won't talk to them or nothing, and then all of a sudden something starts happening, you know, the person may come down sick, or it may not be him, it may be his wife. She comes down sick and never realized that here we go along here for 10 years, and nobody was sick and nobody had any problems. But now all of a sudden we get into a bitterness with mother or dad. And when we do, now then in a month or two, my wife is coming down with headaches or pains or whatever, and we don't get it. And then one of my children started getting sick, and they always got asthma, allergies. I can think of a family that 10 years ago, at least 10 or 12 years ago, I can think of this family, that they had miscarried three children in 9 years. Miscarried three. They had three in that same 9 years. And one of them is 8 years old, and two smaller boys. Both these smaller boys had allergies and asthmas. The bigger boy was we were fixing to be in a wheelchair within 6 to 8 months or a year at the most, and he's going to be an invalid and he's never going to walk again. And when that mother come to me in a healing school in Dallas, and she said, my husband works for a ministry, and he said that he heard you have a healing ministry, wanted me to bring the boys over here, you to pray for them so they'll be healed. I said, well, ma'am, it's not quite that simple. There's an issue here. We got to find a sin. I said, your children are sick because of sin. He said, what? I said, yes, guarantee, there's a sin. I said, how are you getting along with your husband? That's a good place to start. And she said, well, we're not getting along. I said, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. How many of y'all know in the church you're supposed to get along with your spouse? I mean, you're supposed, maybe you have to go a little bit overboard. Maybe some days he's not real easy to get along with. Maybe some days she's not real easy to get along with. How many of y'all know we all have days that's not as good as other days? I don't care who you, that's why God told us to love one another, is that right? Amen. We're supposed to forgive each other, because if we get into bitterness with someone, like this couple got into bitterness, of course, you know, the problem with them, we've got their testimony back there on CD, on DVD, and CD both, I think. But they got in, they waited till much later in life, like 30 or 31 or 32, to get married, and then they started having their children, and of course, at 31 or 32, this guy is well set in his ways. How many of y'all know that? So when she walks in and she's going to change him now, how many of you know that ain't going to happen? Do you know you can't change a man? You know you can't even change yourself. Isn't that amazing? But we can't do that. But we think, you know, that's why when people come to me to get married, I ask this question. What is it that you like most about this person is fixing to become your spouse. What do you like the most about them? And will they tell me what they like? Then I ask him or both of them, what do you like the most about this person you're fixing to marry? And they tell me. And then I say, okay, now then I've heard what you like the most. Now I want you to tell me what you don't like about him. Right there. Well, I don't like this little thing he does. Can you live the rest of your life with that? Oh, no, no, no. When I marry him, I'll change him. How many of y'all know that? Y'all laugh like you know that. You've tried that. Some of you have tried it, huh? And you, how many of y'all know you can't change him? You can't change. There's no way. It can't be done. Or then you ask the man, well, what do you think about her? Well, I know I like all these issues about her, but this one, or this she's got a couple little issues here that I don't really like. I said, can you live the rest of your life and love her with that imperfection? Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to, but I can change her. Betty, how many of you know that it can't be done? It can't be done, can it? No, and the only one can change us, and that's God. And so if we got a problem that we think we can't live with, this couple, of course, when they got married, they thought, well, no big deal, you know, that they can change each other. And then they found out, just like all the rest of us have, it's impossible, you can't do it. And so she gets a grudge against him, and he gets a grudge against her. And now then when she comes to church and asks me to pray for the healing of the boys, I tell her, we got to find out what the problem is. And she tells me that when I ask her, how are you getting along with your husband? She said, we're not getting along at all. I said, well, that's your issue. I said, that's why your boys are sick. And she said, are you telling me my children are all sick because of my sin? I said, yes, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And that woman, that's the only woman I've ever seen that walked out of my church screaming so loud you could hear her two blocks down the street. You are an idiot. I said, you are the most absolute idiot for a preacher God has ever, I've never seen. She said, you're crazy. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, you ask God, he'll tell you I'm not crazy. Of course, I'm trying to talk over her. And so she goes out the door and gets in her car and driving down the road. And she said, God, this man's crazy. Absolutely, he's crazy. And the Lord speaks to her. Thank God that we have a God that does talk, because he spoke to her. And he says, Terry, he's not crazy. He knows what he's talking about. I have taught him these principles. And she said, what? He said, yes, you need to go back down there and talk to him. He has your answer. And so she turned around and came back and walked down the door like a little whipped puppy. I mean, she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you had my answer, and I was to listen to you. I said, thank you, Lord. We sure did need that. I mean, is it amazing what God goes through with us, his children? So she came in and sat down. I said, ma'am, do you have an unforgiveness toward your husband? She said, well, yes. I said, how bad is it? And she said, well, I prayed that he would have a car wreck and get killed. And so therefore I would get double indemnity so I could pay the house off. I said, ma'am, it's a good thing God's merciful. I said, you know, your children are all sick and he's trying to get your attention. I said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to say, God, forgive me for praying that prayer. Forgive me for not obeying my husband. I said, the Lord says, ma'am, I said, in his word, he said, you, the wife, are supposed to submit to your husband in everything. And she said, what? I said, ma'am, I didn't write the book. I said, Jesus wrote the book, not me. I said, I want you to get on your knees right now and ask God to forgive you for all this. I want you to forgive your husband. And then I want you to go home. And I said, where's your husband going to be? She said, well, at this time of night, time I get home, he'll be in bed. I said, okay, I want you to walk into the bedroom and tell him you want to talk to him and you want to forgive him and you're going to promise him, you're going to submit to him and you're going to do anything he tells you to do from this day forward. I said, will you do that? And she says, I said, now, before you tell me the answer to that, I want you to remember that Jesus told you I had your answer. She said, that's right. That's exactly what he said. I said, okay, I want you to go and forgive your husband. And then I want you to submit to him 100%, whatever he tells you to do from this day forth. I want you to obey him. I said, it'll change your life. So she goes home and she walks into the bedroom and says, honey, we got to talk. Now, this is all on a DVD, so you can see it yourself if you want a copy of Terry and Frank Lugenheim's testimony. She walked in and said, honey, I got to talk to you. And Frank says, I thought, uh-oh, she's fixing to want a divorce, and I am ready. I am fed up with this marriage. I'm ready to get out. Now, they're married and got three children, and all kids are sick, all of them. She said, I want to ask you to forgive me. And he fell out on the floor crying. He said, what? And she said, yes, I ask you to forgive me. I promise to love you. I promise to submit to you. I'll do anything you tell me from this day forth. And it totally turned that marriage completely around. Then they brought those children back to me. And I prayed for all three of them. Now, the two little ones at that time had allergies and asthma, and they were in a doctor's office once or twice a week. And they were just off spending all their money in the doctor's office. But the big one, the 9-year-old, he was going to be an invalid in a wheelchair within another 6 months to a year. I prayed for all three of the boys. The two with allergies and asthma were instantly healed. The master healed both those children instantly. The older one, 6 months later, they're taking him back down to the Children's Hospital in Dallas for a checkup. And the Lord speaks to Terry and Frank that morning and says, today, I'm going to put you two to the test. Now, they didn't know what that meant. But they went down there, and the doctors checked him and x-rayed him and said, I don't understand. This leg that was beyond a place where we could do surgery is going the other direction, and now we could do some surgery, and maybe he wouldn't be an invalid. And he says, Mom, Dad, let him do the surgery. And Daddy and Mama thought, this is what the Lord says. See, they had a word from the Lord. You're going to be put to the test. In other words, are you going to believe me and that I'm healing this boy after Thurman prayed for him? Or are you going to believe that it's just a coincidence, and are you going to let them do that surgery? So they said, no, we're not going to let you do the surgery. We're just going to trust God. The little boy went crazy. I mean, he begged Daddy. He pleaded with his dad. Dad, I want to walk. He said, son, you're going to walk, but we're going to do it God's way. Now, if we could all get to that point, if we could just get to that point. But they would not let the doctor do the surgery, although he tried and tried and tried. And the little boy screaming and crying, Daddy, please. And Frank says, no, no. We're going to trust Jesus. So they came home. They came back up here and told me about what had happened. Actually, it was over in Dallas, not here. But that boy is now, what, about 20? 20 or 21 years old. And guess what? He's never spent a second in a wheelchair. Amen. He's totally well today. It hasn't been long ago, has it, Miss Jackie, when Miss Terry was sitting right here on the front row. You was here that Sunday. And she stood up and said, Pastor, I want you to know that since we were prayed for and we got our sins confessed, she said the first 9 years of our marriage life was hell. But she said the next 10, or at that time, I think it had been 10 or 11 more, she said, it has absolutely been awesome. And said, we've never been back to the doctor, although we spent once or two trips a week, or at least every other week, to the doctor's office. She said, since me and my husband got into a right relationship and forgave each other, we have been walking in love, and our children have not been back to a doctor. Is that what she said? Not one single time. Now then, do you see where that if we don't know the devil's ways, what can he do to us if we stay in this unforgiveness? By not knowing the devil's ways and knowing what he can do when we're in unforgiveness towards someone, it opens a door to that beast. And he has legal right to do things. I'm going to take you to 2 Timothy 2, and I guess about verse 18, 19, 20, and through the end, through 26, since we're in interest of time here. Let's go to this. 2 Timothy 2, verse about 18. Yeah, that's as good a place as any. Who concerning the truth have erred, saving that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. Now then, with what he's talking about there, if we had time to read that whole thing, you'll find out that there's two men that have been teaching the people that the resurrection has already occurred. The resurrection of the dead's taken place and the rapture's happened and the people are gone. And he said, that's not true. So, but you know, there's people that's going to tell you all kinds of things, but you need something from the Word to confirm. And you know, it doesn't hurt to have a few experiences to go with it too. Verse 19, let's see what verse 19 says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this said, the Lord knoweth this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now then, is all of us in this room, do we confirm that we are born again believers?
Yes.
Okay, if we're born again believers, if we're walking with God, just what did he say we're supposed to do? Depart from
iniquity.
So that means how much sin should there be in our life? None. Should be none. We should not be sinning. No way, no form, no way should there be any sin in our life. But let's see what the next verse says, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now then, I can still remember, this don't happen anymore. I haven't seen it. This doesn't happen, but used to when I was a little boy at home, every once in a while, Mom and Dad would ask the preacher to come home and have fried chicken with us. Do y'all remember those kind of days?
Yeah.
Miss Betty, did they do that back in your days? You had the preacher over once in a while, right?
Yeah, about every Sunday.
About every Sunday. Okay, well. But you know, my mom used to do that, but we lived in a little bitty house, a little wooden frame house. It was nothing magnificent at all. I will say that it was a really plain Jane little house. But there was one thing Mom had. She had some nice dishes that she kept in a place of when we had the preacher over for dinner. She brought out the nice dishes, and she had some silver in the drawer that we never got to see it except on the Sunday the pastor was there. That's the only Sunday you ever got to see that silver. But this is just exactly what he's talking about. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Let's go to the next verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit or meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. Do you want to walk there? I want to purge myself from all evil. So if the master has something for me to do, if I'm out on the street or wherever I am, and he says, I need to get that person set free. In fact, I'll tell you, you never know the most opportune times. Cheryl and I went down to my sister's house a few years ago on Thanksgiving. And she lives out in the middle of nowhere between Brownwood and Goldthwait, Texas. And we were in the middle of nowhere. And right here on this hill is where you turn off to go to my sister's house, which is about 200 yards off the road, down a little dirt road. And just before we got there, there was a little girl, probably 25, 30 years old. This girl come ripping down the road right there, and she was not paying attention to what was going on. And there was another lady that was going the other direction, and she leaned over just a little bit across that line, and they hit just about the headlight to the headlight. And both of them are running 60 miles an hour. So when that little headlight, just about that much of those cars, one's going this way and one's going that way, and when they hit that much of a place, you can only imagine what it did to those two cars, right? But that one little girl, when her car got stopped, Cheryl and I went running up there. I mean, smoke and everything going everywhere. And we go running up there and I opened the door and this little girl is laying there on the, and her knee, when I looked at her knee, it looks like that piece of steel had hit that knee and just knocked it off. I mean, it was awful. And she's laying there screaming, oh, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And Cheryl's right behind me. And I run over and I throw my hand right over there and just barely touch that knee. And I say, Father, in Jesus' name, you said I could ask for anything, you do it. I said, Lord, take the pain away from this girl and fix her knee. And she said, oh, my God, don't quit praying. The pain's going away. That was quite an encounter that day. It was quite, you don't never know where the Master's going to need you. Of all the places for me and Cheryl to be that day, going to my sister's for Thanksgiving dinner. There's almost nobody on this highway out in the middle of nowhere. We certainly didn't dream we're going to have an opportunity to pray over a little girl laying in the seat of her car with her knee knocked off. And her ankle was tore up too. But boy, when I saw that, I thought, man. And so I started praying. And the minute I started praying, I'll never forget that little girl screaming, don't stop praying. The pain is going away. Now then, what did the Master say? If a man therefore purge himself from all those bad things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Do you want to be a vessel of gold? I don't even want to be a vessel of silver, do you?
No.
I want to be the best that can be because I want to be used for His glory. When you purge yourself from all evil and you walk holy before the Master, you'll get to see the Master do some of the most awesome things your mind can't wrap it around. What you'll get to see Him do. Because He loves people. And He doesn't want them to be in pain and hurting. But I guarantee, if I'd have been living in sin, or me and Cheryl had just had a knockdown drag out back up the 2 miles before we got there, He would not have used me and Cheryl for that glory. He uses His children that purge themselves from evil. Do you understand? I mean, if you want to be used of God, you got to do what He says. If a man, if, biggest word in the Bible, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. Boy, those are lots of different kinds of lust too. You know that? But flee all of those things. But follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, here's the requirements. Do you want to walk here? Do you want to be used for the glory of God? Do you want to be put in a place, and as Christians, we could be put, who knows where God could sprinkle this little group of people that we are today. We will be all over the Metroplex before the day's over. Who knows the opportunities you might run up on that you might have the privilege to go and pray for somebody and do something. And if you know who you are in Christ and you're that vessel unto honor, there's no limitations to what the Master can do with you and me out there in this world. He can change people's lives, can He not?
Yeah.
I mean, people need to know. You know, I mean, they really need to know. But He tells you, follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I love being around you kind of people. Y'all are my kind of people. You know, I don't love being around groups. If I go out to a job site or something and everybody's cussing or whatever, I've learned that I have power and authority over that, and I can stop that. I can do that in love. I mean, I can walk up on a job site and I can totally change the way the thing works. But I remember whenever I became the regional manager of this big outfit down here at DFW Airport, the first day I walked in there, there's 1,000 people working that place. And I walked in that place with one of the managers. They was introducing me to people, saying I was one of the managers that was coming to work there. I'd been transferred there. And as I walked in that place, I heard men and women using the foulest language I ever heard in my life. Foul. Nobody knew who I was. But they introduced me as a certain maintenance manager. So the next morning on the way to work, I called the devil into my pickup with me. And I told him, I said, sit down right there. I have a word for you. I'm a son of God. I walk pure and clean before the Master. I said, I will not let you speak another word of profanity in my sight. Never. Do you hear me, Satan? I talked to him like who he is. I went into that place. And from that nearly 7 years I worked in that place before I left. I heard one word of profanity in those 7 years after that. And it was in a meeting with probably 25 or 30 managers and supervisors. And we were all in a room, and I was sitting way back over in the back corner. And the head group up here in the front, and then they had supervisor managers all around the place. And all the way across the room over here was a table with a girl sitting there that was a manager. And this manager woman she's talking to up there in front said something. And this one back here, I'm going to tell you exactly what she said. She said, who in the hell? And when she said, who in the hell, her hand. And with her hand over her mouth, she turned and looked at the back corner of the room and said, Thurman, will you forgive me? You see the power that God's given us? The devil understands the holiness and the pureness of you when you walk holy before the Lord. And he knows he has no legal right. So he can't do anything. But I'm telling you, I got more people set free and healed and saved and delivered in that place. It's unbelievable what you can do in the name of Jesus. But Lord, forgive me for even using that word. Unbelievable. Anything's believable with Jesus. Amen. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Next verse, 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Now strife, let's see what the next verse says. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Now, it would be good for us all to, if we don't have this locked in our heart, it would be good to write this down and go over this once in a while, right? Because this is where we're supposed to live, all of us, every one of us. And the servant of the Lord, is that what we are?
Yes.
That's us. We're servants of the Lord. We must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Okay, let's see what verse 25 says. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In other words, are you going to have some people that's going to be in strife anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have some of those. But he says, if you have those kind of people, in meekness, you're to instruct those who oppose themselves. And then look what that next line says. Again, it has an if there. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, that's what we're working for, is to see God forgive them, right? So he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare or the trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, when Terry and Frank were not walking in love, when she had that unforgiveness, the devil, they were in his trap, and he did exactly what he wanted to do with that family anytime he wanted to, just like the scripture says there. He would afflict those boys with asthma. He'd afflicted that older one with a leg problem, and he's going to be an invalid. and they would have never, ever understood that it was their unforgiveness that opened the door to the devil legally from God's word to give that devil legal right to torment their children and to maybe even kill their children, and then one day maybe even kill Terry and Frank. If she had stayed in that unforgiveness, they would have had a miserable life. But God tells us to forgive. He tells us in meekness and gentleness to instruct those that are not there to be gentle and peaceful and loving and kind to them and say, Michael, you need to walk in that love walk, son. That's good advice, isn't it? It is. It really is. But for all of us, how many of us are supposed to walk in love?
All
of us. Not just some of us. All of us. And if we do, then do we open that door to the devil? We don't give him that legal right. So we don't have to worry about him. So that's why that one family gets to walk with no sickness, and the other one, all they can do is have sickness. I don't know about you, but I like not having to be sick, don't you? And I really love it when my children are not sick. You know. But do you know that if people would just read this book like it's written, it's really kind of scary, isn't it? Just think what that says. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare or the trap of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. How would you like to say, okay, devil, here I am. Any Christian in their right mind, would you dare say, okay, devil, here I am, come get me. If I got a sin in my life, just go ahead and get me. Can you imagine a man being that stupid? No. But that's what we're doing. That's absolutely what we're doing. When you walk off with an unforgiveness or a bitterness, striving against another brother or sister, you have absolutely opened the door to the demonic world. And he comes in and says, oh, you're mine now. I'm going to get you. But he doesn't say when he's going to get you. He says at his will. Is that what he said, Eric? He might wait a week or two or a month, right? And then all of a sudden he says, oh, okay, today's Eric's day. I'm going to get him. That's not the day we want to be around, is it? Not at all. We want to walk in love, don't we? This is what we want it to be. We want to be in love, so if the devil comes up and he says, I'm going to get Eric today. And the Lord steps right between us and says, oh, no, my son here, he's a good boy. You can't touch him. He ain't got a sin in his life nowhere. That's what we want to hear, right? Is that what we want to hear, Jack? We don't want to be running around with somebody we're not supposed to be running around with. We don't want to be visiting somebody's house we ain't supposed to be there. We don't want to have a married woman coming over to our house. You don't want a married woman in your house. If you're married to that woman, she's home, you don't want another married woman in your house. You know that? Avoid all appearances of evil, because Pat would be just like me as much as she loves you. If she found out you brought another woman in your house that morning and she stayed all day with you, she might have a problem believing you were doing what was supposed to be done. She might say, what is wrong with my husband? What is he doing in there with that woman for 8 hours? You'd have a problem with that, wouldn't you, Pat? I would have a problem with that too. You know, so avoid the appearance of evil. You know, never. In fact, I even told Cheryl the night she asked me, that I asked her if she'd like to work for me, and she said she would. I told her, Cheryl, you get in your car and you follow me, and I'll go in my car and I'll drive down the street and I'll find a restaurant that's open and we'll have a cup of tea. I wouldn't even let her ride in the car with me because she was a single woman. I was a single man, but I ain't married to this woman. So I wouldn't even go in the car with her. I didn't do that. Unless there was a third person in there with us. I just don't do that. Because if everybody had seen me coming by and pick her up at the church every afternoon after church, and we go somewhere and have dinner together and whatever, and then they see me take her home at 12 or 1 or 2 in the morning, you know what everybody thinks? They always think the worst, of course. You know, wow, what's Pastor doing out with this good-looking woman? Wow. But by not doing anything, waiting till God brings her to me, and then I put the ring on her finger, and then I carry her across that threshold, who does she belong to now?
You.
She She's mine. I can go to bed with her if I want to. I can have dinner with her. I can do anything I want to do. That girl belongs to me. Isn't that the way it is? Now that she's mine, hey, I don't have no problem. Honey, come on, let's get in the car and let's go somewhere. No problem. She's my wife. I'm not doing anything wrong. But if she wasn't my wife, I guarantee I'd not say, hey, let's go. If I took her to dinner, like lots of times we go down here to Mom's Cafe and have something to eat. If she was a working girl out here, you notice I don't take any of the other girls down to Mom's Cafe, do I? No. If I do, guess who's with them? Either they're another person or their maid or something. But I never take a woman, single or married, nowhere without another person. Because why? It doesn't look good. We as Christians are to avoid all evil. We're to purify and cleanse ourselves 100% completely. Did y'all get that from the message today?
Yes.
You want to be a vessel of honor?
Yes.
Then you'll do what God says or He will not use you. And I don't know about you, but you know, I love it. I go back today, and of course, since we got the family back there and all from Chicago that knew the family, I think back and how grateful I am that God used me to get Andy and Robert both healed and to make everything happen that happened at Big Sandy. And He changed thousands of people's lives. But out of the whole thing, I walked in love with the whole bunch. I mean, you know, and I'm going to walk in love with the whole bunch. Everybody down there. Because I don't want God to put me on the back burner and say I'm that wood or straw. Do you? No. I want to walk in love. I don't care what anybody else does. There's only one I want to make happy. And who is that?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus. So, and that you may recover themselves out of the snare or the trap of the devil, who has taken captive by him, who are taken captive by him at his will. I cannot imagine living in a place where that the devil just had legal right to me, Michael. Can you imagine that? No. But that's what that scripture says, though, doesn't it? When we get into strife or bitterness or unforgiveness, all of a sudden you become drawn into his snare, right into his trap. And he said, well, I got so many things to do. I won't worry with Michael right now. I'll wait till next week when I'm not quite so busy. I mean, is that what that says? You, if you're walking in love, you give no place to the devil. That's where you want to walk, right? 1 John 5:18, and then we'll quit. 1 John 5:18, I want to look at this scripture. Look at this. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Are we born of God? Are we supposed to sin?
No.
Nope. We know that whosoever is born of God, it actually says, does not practice sinning. But the King James really makes it tough. Whoever's born of God, we just do not sin at all, period. It's what it sounds like, but it's actually telling us that we're not supposed to practice any kind of known sin. But he that is begotten of God, which is us, keeps himself, and then keeps ourselves from what? From evil, or from wickedness. And then the wicked one touches him not. So if you and I, as sons and daughters of God, if we don't like to spank our own children, unless they really drive us over the brink, God is much more merciful to us than we are to our own children. So we know God does not want to give us a spanking, but He will. He will give you a spanking if you stay into that sin long enough. And if you're not giving the devil any legal right, if you're not sinning, Miss Jackie, what can the devil do to you? Is that good news? I don't. If I'm not sinning, that beast, I can walk right through that battle, and them arrows can be shooting all around, but he can't hit me, can he?
Can't hit me. Can't touch
you. Thank you, Jesus. It's worth walking holy before the Master, isn't it?
Amen.
And then when he needs something done, he comes over and says, "Oh, my dear, come over here and pray for this lady, and I'll just heal her for you right now."
Yes,
is that the way you'd like to see it done?
Yes, sir.
And I love to hear God's voice. I love to hear Him tell me it's time to pray for somebody. and pray for him and see him do great and wonderful things. And you like that too, don't you?
Yes.
I think all of us do. Do we not? Wow. Is God awesome or is he awesome? Father, I thank you and praise you for this beautiful, gorgeous day. I thank you for the rain that you sent. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to send more rain. You know, that really, we're about 8 or 10 inches behind for the year. And Lord, I ask you to really fill up these lakes and everything and give us water. Lord, we remit the sins of the whole Metroplex. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the authority and power to remit sins. So Lord, so the sins of people that are stopping the rains and everything from coming, Lord, that are opening the door to the enemy, and we remit everybody's sin. We remit our sins, and we want to walk holy and pure and clean in your presence. And so, Lord, we thank you for sending us a beautiful rain, a really good rain this week, and we get lots of good rain all over. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. And, Lord, as Cheryl and I go to Baltimore Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I ask you to really give us a great trip up there. We ask you to speak through us as we teach your word at the Baltimore Christian Faith Center, and may we be used mightily this week for your glory. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for all the good things you do. And I thank you for healing and delivering and setting all the people free that's here today. And may you use all of us this week as vessels of honor, golden, silver vessels that can be used for your glory to do great things for you. And I thank you and praise you for the privilege of being your son. Now, Lord, thank you. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.